Shalom and welcome to another in our series of podcasts from Temple Beth Om, a dynamic center for conservative Judaism in Los Angeles. This is a recording of a Shabbat teaching by Rabbi Rebecca Schatz.
I am sure that many of you either came out of Pesach or saw the video of Hirsch Goldberg Polin a few days ago, I guess. I'm not exactly sure when it came out because I saw it after Chag. But it immediately struck me that here we are counting the Omer, and here we are also counting the number of days that we have been in this experience that we have been in since October 7th, and more specifically connected to the hostage situation. And I don't know how any of you came to be connected to the counting. I'm sure for many of us it was a different moment or a different person or maybe a specific hostage. But I know for me that the counting became very real when I met Rachel, Hirsch's mother, in person when I was in Israel in November. And she is still wearing, but was wearing at the time, a piece of masking tape with the number of how many days it's been since, in her words, her child was stolen from her. And to me, that was a striking resemblance to the way in which we count the Omer every year. Some people have counters in their homes. Some people have an app on their phone. Some people are just very good at remembering what day it is. But many of us have ways of recognizing what day we are on at specific moments in Judaism, not just the Omer, though that one is kind of the most collective experience of counting. Before I pass out these sheets, I'm curious to hear, when you think of counting in Judaism, what do you think of? What are some examples of counting that we do? Weeks? Is that what you said? Months. Okay. Months of what? Great. So like, great. So when there's a new month, we have a blessing that we say, we have a specific service that we do the day of or the 2 days of. Great. So we're counting the new month, the calendar. Great, counting towards a minyan, right? How many people are around for us to be able to daven specific services? Sima? Great. Some of us go outside to see how many stars there are to be able to end Shabbat or to end a chag. Great. The census, we're going to get to that in just a second. Great. Yeah. Oh, Dayenu. Great. Thank you. Thank you. Great. Dayenu. And as you were saying that, one I hadn't thought of is actually the plagues, right? Or the cups of wine, or there's lots of numbers in the Seder. So thank you for explaining that, Ed. Any other numbers people can think of? Yeah. Great. Fabulous. Right. We're always counting towards Shabbat. And like if you read a ketubah or any kind of legal document, it says the number of days beShabbat, right? Which is just like of the week, right? Getting us to Shabbat. Great. So some of us, and we're going to get to a text about that as well. Some of us, whether right now or in general, are very familiar with counting days of Shiva, counting Shloshim, counting what it means to get to a yard site, right? All of those are days of counting. Okay, so in Judaism, as you're now recognizing, even if you hadn't thought of all of these before, we do a lot of counting. There's a lot of counting that we're constantly doing in Judaism to keep things in order or to keep them important to us, or to make something more important than just the regular, right? So this example of counting towards Shabbat, right? It's a Monday, but it's the Monday of the week that's going to lead me to Shabbat, right? It's the second day of the week that's going to get me to Shabbat. Okay, so when I came out of Chag, one of my friends, David Lando, who I mentioned in a vort that I shared last night at Kabbalat Shabbat, mentioned something about his experience of leaving the reserves. He's been in the army since October 7th, or October 8th, I should say. And he was in the army, then he was able to go home, then he went into the reserves, and he went home to his family. There's just this constant fluctuation in his life of in, out, in, out. And the day that Chag ended for him, which was the day before for us, he was leaving the reserves for however long he gets to be home, and then most likely go back, but hopefully not. So he texted me something about the feeling of being in this space of Mitzrayim, right? Of being in this space of celebrating Pesach and what it was like in comparison to on Simchat Torah than for him going straight into the army, right? This joyous occasion, feeling very free, feeling this experience, right, in Israel, Simchat Torah was the night before October 7th, right? So feeling this freedom, this joy, and then immediately going into what has been for him a very difficult few months, quite literally with his own body and hands. And then he said, and also today is day whatever it was of the Omer for him, which is actually 201 days. Right, which when we think about it, we are counting the Omer, but we have been so involved in counting the days that the hostages are in captivity, the days since October 7th, that, yeah, sure, today is day 4, but we're on day 203, right? We're not actually on day 4, except for of the Omer. But when we count, we are also counting these days that we've been counting for too long. So I'm going to pass out these sheets. We are going to be, I think, try one per couple or one per two people if you didn't come with someone, just with the person next to you. I'm not sure that I have enough copies for everybody to have one. But if you're interested, and I'm going to ask you not to flip forward. Now you're all going to, but don't go off of the first page, because I want to get to the last page as kind of a nice takeaway. So don't flip the page until I tell you to. Okay, as the pages are going around, I'm just going to start reading. In Menachot, in our Talmud, it says, the sages taught in a Baraita the phrase, Usfartem lachem, which means, and you shall count for you. Why do you think it says, and you shall count for you? What's the, we're talking about the Omer here. What's the counting for you? Great. Each individual has to count. Great. To be conscious for yourself. Exactly. To be able to understand what's going on in my own person while I'm counting. Right? In this particular case, they're talking about the Omer, but given the preamble that I gave you, you also have in mind what it means for us to count those days for ourselves, right, today as day 203 or 204, depending on if you're doing it based on sunset or not. Right? So this idea that we're counting for us, there might be another reason for the counting, but the actual counting, the actual physical, I'm going to say the number, is for us individually. Which is why if you're in a communal setting, if you're here tonight while I'm leading Mincha Mariv, we will count the Omer, but I will do it and then you will repeat it, because you also need to count that number for yourself. Right? So even if you're in a communal setting, you still do it for you. Why else do you think it might say lachem, for you? The counting for you. Yeah. Did someone say something? Sorry, I thought I heard someone. Correct, but why for you as opposed to for us or for them or for the community? Why is it specific to the person? It's okay if we've exhausted all of the options. That's okay. We can move on. But any other thoughts? Oh, sorry. Great, fabulous. So now that the mitzvot are ours, as opposed to a priest performing them for you in a temple, right? Maybe this is the rabbis allowing us to see that this is now something for us. This is really something personal that we need to take on personally for ourselves. There's no one else doing it on your behalf or for the community. Okay. This, there should be a counting by each and every person, right? So the rabbis really hone in on this lachem, meaning that each and every person is going to do it. Paula? Sure, yeah, that it can be each and every person, right? It doesn't have any specificity as to who that person or what that person is, right? It's each and every person. Great. Okay, so we're going to read what the Sefer HaChinuch has to say. I'm going to jump around a little bit in this long-ish paragraph, but if you'd like to read the whole thing, you're more than welcome to. For this reason, because it's the main course of the Israelites' life, and for its sake they were redeemed, right? This is explaining now why we are even counting the Omer to begin with, and rose to all the distinction they attained. We were commanded to count the days from the morrow after the festival of Passover. So for us, it's the second Seder, though for people who don't have a second Seder, it's just the day after, until the Torah was given, right? Until Shavuot. That's the span of time that we're counting, to show with our very souls our great yearning for that distinguished day, for which our heart longs as a servant eagerly longs for the shadow, and constantly counts with his longed for time will come when he will go out to freedom. So what's the Omer for, according to the Sefer HaChinuch? What is the Omer doing here for us? What is it bridging for us? Great. So it's taking us from a moment of remembering the Exodus, right, which took us out of slavery, took us out of a moment in our time that was the hardest for us, and longing for the thing that's going to allow us to feel like a free people, that is going to give us mitzvot and ritual and religion and community, and that's what it's going to take us to. So we're counting from the moment of Pesach, of remembering this story so vividly, then all the way to Shavuot, we're going to receive the Torah. Nico, did you have your hand up? Interesting. So the way in which we need to keep in mind that which actually allows us to get to receive that Torah, right? The work that we still have to do in this, Nico's calling it free time, and I'm just wondering, yeah, great. Yeah. So getting us from Passover all the way to Shavuot with no major holidays, let's put it that way, no major holidays to prepare for in between Passover and Shavuot, yeah. Great. Fabulous. So we use Elul as a way of actually preparing us to get into Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, etc. And maybe this too is a time for us to be reflective as a way of taking us from Pesach. Again, the Seder is an experiential lesson plan for us to remember our freedom, but from slavery in a very powerful way. And so to take that and remember that until we receive Torah, to receive it even more powerfully, perhaps. Do you want to continue? Great. So generationally, right, the people were not the same from one experience to the next. And therefore, for us too, no one person is the same 50 days ago and now, right? And so we need to be able to keep that momentum going of the connection that we have to the story that we're in and to the freedom that we're going to feel when we receive the Torah. The other thing that I want to bring this connection to in terms of the hostages is that if we are counting, we're counting towards what we hope will be redemption, right? And freedom and joy. And we are counting towards, now, this situation does not have an end like Shavuot does for us, right? We don't know what the number will be. We're not counting towards a number. We would have been better off had it ended at day 5. Right, but the fact is we are counting towards this same kind of redemptive feeling of we're going to receive Torah, right, when this counting is over for the hostage situation, excuse me, we are hopeful that that will be a moment of complicated joy, right, complicated in that the people who are going to be released are going to need help, and that's saying too little as to what's going to come. But the fact that there will be freedom and that there will be a moment of redemption, just like we feel when we receive Torah, we too are bridging this gap between a moment of feeling desperate and down and enslaved in some ways to a moment that we don't yet know when it is going to come, though hopefully soon, of freedom and redemption. The source on the bottom here, I think, for me was the main connection between these two ideas here, and that I'll read it and then I'll see if anybody else can see the real kind of almost eerie connection. There are those who explain that the reason for the counting of the Omer is that the days of the Omer are the days of harvesting, and the people are busy working in the fields, and they're not in their homes. They could therefore not be reached by the messengers of the courts to be informed when the new month begins, and God therefore commanded us to count all the days. Right now, you can read this two ways. You could read this as, if you're reading it from my perspective of I'm trying to connect this to the counting of the days that the hostages have been in Gaza, that they are unable to potentially know what day it is or how many days have passed or when it's morning, when it's evening. Counting is difficult, right? From the hostages who have been released, we've heard that it was hard to know how much time had elapsed because there wasn't always a clock or daytime to be able to tell what was up and what was down. And also, I think this is a reminder for us. It's been 203 days, right? We have to remind ourselves to also do that counting, right? That we are busy in the fields and we are preparing for things and we are in America and we are dealing with different joys and different mundane aspects of our life and also different difficulties in our existence. And yeah, sure, there are moments that bring it back up for us, that remind us of what's going on. But the counting is what allows it to still feel very real and very very regular, right? A very regular aspect, unfortunately, of our lives. Rabbi Shapiro last week mentioned that when he was in Israel a few weeks ago, that he heard people say, it's not October 8th yet for us, right? And that's this same kind of thing, that we're counting these days over and over and over again to, unfortunately, keep us in a way of remembering and knowing and being diligent in taking care of whatever we can do to be proactive with the situation 203 days in, as if it was day two. Okay, just because of time, we're going to not do all the rest of the sources here, but I want you to just flip to page two, not to page three, just to two. Just go like this. Don't look at page three. I had a teacher in rabbinical school who used to write all over the page, do not turn the page, do not turn the page. And it just made everybody turn the page. It was like, it was just a silly, had he not said anything, no one would have turned it over. Okay. So at the top of the page, I'm not going to read through it. You're welcome to. You can see here the introduction, let's say, that we say every single night before Sfirat HaOmer. And the reason I'm giving this to you, just a little sneak preview as to what's on page three, but you're not going to look yet, is that this is going to come into play again, but in a way that we can still say this, but on the 203rd day. Someone said kitisa before. Someone said about the census. Was that you, Lori? So Rashi says when you take a census, right, this is the commentary on this piece of Torah from kitisa, the census, when you wish to obtain the sum total of their number, meaning the number of people, to know how many there are, know how many people are in your midst, don't take their census by their polls, meaning I'll keep reading. But each of them shall give a half a shekel, and you shall count these to ascertain their number. Why not their polls, meaning kind of like what we do as a census, right? Like we fill out different boxes. Why not their information? Why is there something active that the people have to do for you to count them? Yeah, Nico? Great. Great. So it's not about us just doing the counting, right? It's about the people who are maybe needed to be counted or we would like to count. We're actually asking them to show up to be a part of the count, right? To be a part of the experience of being counted. Why else? Why a half shekel? Great. Everybody can afford it. Were you going to say something different? Okay. Quantity, right, exactly. Like, oh, equality, thank you. Yes, equality, that everyone can do it, right? So that hopefully will get everybody to show up. If you asked everybody for $3,000, not everybody would be able to do that. But a half shekel, which I have no idea how much that would be in today's day based off of what it was for them, that's something that everyone can do. And so it's not based off of how much you have, it's just based off of your ability to show up and be counted. Ed.
Is it possible that you're not one except you need two to get one?
Yeah, so that's a beautiful way of, right, that's a beautiful way of thinking about why a half as well. That, did everyone hear what Ed said? That if you have a half and I have a half, we make a whole, right? So we actually need people to bring their halves so that we can feel like a whole community. Yeah.
I have heard that you're not also a way
practical,
of raising money.
Great. Right, right. So the practical philanthropic reason of thinking about it this way is that we aren't supposed to go around and say 1, 2, 3, 4, right? We're not supposed to count people that way. But if you count coins, or if everybody brings a something, right, you can count that, and then you assume that everybody brought one, and therefore you now know how many people there were. But it was also a way of collecting money, right? It was seen as kind of a fundraiser to be able to have the people show up, but then also have the money collected. Gabriella? Yeah, great. That it's something that you're bringing. We see this a lot in terms of the temple, right? Of bringing something that is desirous to you to give over as a gift to God. Right? It's the same kind of idea of bringing something that shows you have not just shown up, but brought a part of yourself to be able to say, "I am here. I am part of all of this." Great. We're going to look at one more piece, but there are two here. We're going to look at the last one of Moed Katan. But I just want you to see that the middle one here, says it's from Bracha, from the Talmud, there are ways in which we also count time in with people who we are used to seeing, right? Not just the hostages who were taken, but also during the pandemic, this was something that we talked a lot about. Wow, I haven't seen you for a month, or I haven't seen you for a year. And there's actually blessings in Judaism to say upon seeing somebody who you haven't seen for a long time. So we also count time to give blessing, which I think is a very powerful way of thinking of counting in Judaism, not just in terms of a minyan, but that we count time to be able to say, wow, it's been a long time since I've seen you. Not that that's a bad thing, but rather let me now bestow upon you a blessing for being able to receive you and see you. Was your hand up? Okay. The last piece here from Moed Katan, and this goes back to something that Bonnie was saying. We are all at some point in our lives going to be in a situation, if not already, in a situation where we are counting days of Shiva, days of Shloshim, towards a yard site, etc. And I always, when I'm working with families for a funeral, I always say, I think that the rabbis got this so right. There are lots of things that could be seen as like, maybe that could have been done a little bit differently. But I think that death and dying in Judaism, especially around Shiva and Shloshim, and ultimately Yahrzeit, was done so beautifully because they understood what it meant to have cycles, right? To need those 7 days, to then need those 30 days, and not just to get up, walk out, back into your office, back into life. You needed time to get through these cycles. They made up the numbers, but to get through these cycles of time, to feel differently, to be able to be around different kinds of people, to have different kinds of restrictions, and therefore potentially actually opportunities for you to just be with that grief. And so I wanted to bring this particular piece because this is often hardest when someone loses someone around a festival, right? Like Annie, who might be watching, but Ilan's wife, right? When someone loses someone immediately before a festival, you don't get all those days, right? And you have to figure out, how do I come up with, whether it's my own rituals or my own communal moments, to sit in what would have been Shiva or sit in what would have been Shloshim, knowing that I'm supposed to get up and enjoy the joy of the festival that's coming. I'm just going to read in English for time's sake. One who buries their deceased relative 3 days before a festival, the restrictions of Shiva are canceled by the festival. Okay, so 3 days before, let's call it Pesach, the restrictions of Shiva are canceled. So you don't do the same amount of Shiva that you would have done. If one buries their deceased relative 8 days, then the restrictions of Shloshim are nullified, right? Because 8 days is longer than Shiva, so you have Shiva, but you do not have Shloshim, because that's 30 days. Because the sages said, Shabbat counts as one of the days of mourning, although one may not mourn on it, and it does not interrupt, right? Sometimes we see people come to shul during their days of Shiva. It's not Shiva. They're allowed to leave their home and be here in community, but it's not like they've gotten up from Shiva and everything is fine and dandy. They're still in Shiva. They're just now in community on Shabbat. The festivals, however, interrupt Shiva and Shloshim, but they do not count. So counting can also be a way in which it takes us to something else, right? It takes us out of something and brings us into something, whether we're ready for it or not, right? And so when a festival hits right after someone passes away and there is no Shiva or there is no Shloshim, that can be extremely painful. And also our rabbis are saying, yeah, but get together with your family for Pesach or get together with your family for Sukkot and have those moments to share memories, to experience the joy that you also deserve to feel, even if it's right now partnered with grief. Turn to page 3, finally. And if once I explain this, you want this and you didn't get a packet because I didn't have enough, I'm happy to share it. It also went out in an email yesterday, but I'm happy to share this source sheet. Rabbi Dave Levy came up with a kavanah so that all of us this year can do Sfirat HaOmer, can count the days of the Omer, and also still count the days that the hostages have been in captivity. So what you see here is he wrote, Hineni Muchanum Zuman, I am ready to fulfill the mitzvah of counting the Omer. However, with a heavy heart this year, we count so much more. We count the days since the terror of October 7th. We count the days that our brothers and sisters, our children, have sat held hostage by Hamas. Each day we will count the Omer, but we will also count the days of Shevi captivity. And then it goes on to give you the actual words that you would say as part of the blessing that you would then say for Sfirat HaOmer. But then you can see down at the bottom, and I gave you the link because I didn't copy all the days of the Omer. That would end up with like an 8-page packet. But I gave you through Sunday, and then you can print the rest if you'd like, though you understand the formula. It says today is, right, let's do Saturdays, the fifth day of the Omer, day 204 of captivity. So you can see it in the Hebrew and the English on the website. What I'd like to offer before we go into Musaf is that I hope that counting is something that in your life you see as a transitional object almost. That you see it as a way of bringing you from one thing to another, that you see it as a way of taking intentionality each day to count whatever it is you are counting, and to be able to, in this year, focus on the fact that we have all been counting for too long, and yet we're also inserting into that count this Omer as a way of reminding us that, yes, in some ways we still feel like we are enslaved by aspects of our own society and not being able to express our religion, express our identity, etc. And we also have freedoms. And we also were able to share the story of Exodus on Pesach, and we are still moving towards Shavuot.
You have been listening to another in our series of podcasts from Temple Beth Am, a dynamic center for conservative Judaism in Los Angeles. If you enjoy these podcasts, we invite you to write a review on the Apple Podcast site or wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about Temple Beth Am Los Angeles, go to tbala.org.